Good morning. So good to see you this morning in God's house. Let's pray as we begin our time. Lord, we just dedicate this time to you, bring glory to your name. Lord, we know that there are some in our church family that are grieving now. I pray for your comfort and strength upon them. Some that are suffering with diseases and ailments, and God, physically, that you would bless them, let your healing hand be felt, bring comfort to them. There might be some going through some spiritual issues or family issues, emotional, that you would bring comfort and strength to them too and help them as they desire to know you more and to grow in their faith. Strengthen us today that we would do that, grow in our faith and learn, and that we would be true worshipers and pour out our hearts in praise to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 118, verse 24 says, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." The choir's going to lead us in a call to worship, but you can join in and sing with them as well. Anytime the choir is singing and you want to sing along, you feel comfortable doing that. Good way to start off this morning. It's a joy to look out as the worship leader and see everyone participating and singing, families singing together. I always like to see that, and husband and wives, and individuals as well. Let's all lift it up before the Lord as we sing of our Redeemer this morning. It's hymn number 517. Let's stand as we sing.
I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love for me. On the cruel cross he suffered, from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer.
Sing of my Redeemer with his love. glad you're here, part of our 10:30 traditional worship. Good to have all of you that are visiting with us today. Glad the Lord has led you to First Baptist Church to join us in worship. We have a visitor's card that we put on a QR code. You can hit it with your phone. It'll take you right to it. Give us as much information as you would like to give us. We appreciate you doing that. Take a few minutes, walk around, and welcome your friends. Glad you're here this morning.
Seated as we sing a beautiful song of our faith, and can it be? We thank God for His amazing love.
Forever.
and examine and think about the lyrics as Karen plays through the third verse. And when we get to the refrain, Amazing Love, let's pick back up with our singing. Condemnation in Christ Jesus our Lord.
No condemnation now I dread. Jesus and love in Him is mine. Alive in Him, my living head.
Thank you, Lord, for your blood that was shed and your body broken for us at Calvary. We turn our lives over to you and accept the freedom and the liberty that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand as we prepare to receive our morning offering. We'll sing four stanzas of At Calvary. Would you stand with me?
I spend in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me He died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was love to my turning. There my burden so fell with. So found liberty at Calvary.
Join me in prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning with thankful and grateful hearts, Lord, that we come in your presence and that we serve the Most High God, the God that loves us and cares for us and provides for us. Lord, we thank you for all the things that you have done, all the things you do, and all the things that you promised. Lord, we pray this morning that you would just be glorified by the singing and the studying and lifting up of your word. And Lord, we pray this morning that as we take up an offering, Lord, that you will bless it and multiply it for the furtherance of your kingdom, and that all things you will receive honor and glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Don't we sing that in the early worship? We do.
Yeah, we did this morning.
We did this morning, didn't we? No wonder it was in my head. Most of y'all, you don't have the privilege of going to both worship services. You choose the one you want to go to, but I get to go to both. And so it's so great that sometimes, like just a few minutes ago, the choir is singing this special, and I'm thinking in my head, I'm sitting standing over there singing along with this special, and I'm thinking, have I already sung that this morning? I think I've already sung that this morning. So we did, didn't we? We had that in the early worship. So it is so neat to see how the same song can be in the early worship, can be a praise song led by a praise team and a praise band, and we're singing along as the congregation. And then we come into the second worship service, and it is a choir special, and it's still just as meaningful. Either way, both ways, the words, the lyrics, and how they move us. And gosh, that was so neat. Thank you, choir. All right, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Last Sunday, and then today, next. So we're talking about freedom. And we're talking about the freedom that Jesus bought us, purchased for us on the cross, the death, burial, and the resurrection. And what that freedom gives to us. The whole point of this series, as we kind of work our way toward Easter, the whole point of this series is to really try to almost put a stamp of approval on what we talked about at the first of the year, wisdom and humility. And then we spent time talking about prayer. And so this is kind of putting our stamp of approval on the gospel, the good news. One of the greatest mistakes that we make in the body of Christ, and have made this mistake over the years, is this idea that salvation is for heaven only. And it is for heaven. My goodness, the older I get, the more beautiful heaven becomes. And the more people that I lose, the more beautiful heaven becomes. The more funeral sermons that I preach, the more beautiful heaven becomes. And I'm thankful that because of my sin, I am condemned to hell. And I am thankful that when I pass from this life, because of my repentance and my sin, my trust in Jesus, I'm going to spend eternity in heaven. I'm grateful for that. But the beauty of the gospel is that it's so much more than just going to heaven when we die. The freedom that we have in Christ Jesus is one of the greatest gifts that God has given to us in the gospel. And so that's kind of where we are. Last Sunday, today. Now, next Sunday, we're actually going to see what it looks like in a picture. All right? So you know that's kind of where I always go. Well, we've talked about freedom last Sunday from Romans chapter 7, verse 6. We're going to talk about freedom again today from Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. And so next Sunday, I'm going to answer the question, what does it look like? Tell me, what does this freedom actually look like in this individual's life and this individual's life and then in this individual's life? So what does that freedom actually look like in a picture? We'll do that next Sunday. Last Sunday, though, from Romans 7, 6, Paul said this, but now we have died, or we have been released from the law. Why? Because we died to it. We've died to the law. And we've been released from it. We are no longer, he says, we're no longer held captive. We're no longer bound by the chains, the slavery of the power of the law. Now, he says, we can go out, worship. We can worship. We can serve God, not in the old way of just simply figuring out who are the best rule followers. No, not in that way. But now we can go out and we can worship and serve God in the new way of living according to the Spirit. We are free in Christ Jesus. You're free. You are free in Christ Jesus. If you have repented of your sin, you've trusted Christ as your Savior and Lord, you are now free in Christ Jesus. You are free to live the gospel, the good news. You're free to live in light, joy, grace, love, forgiveness. You're free to live in the light of the gospel. And you're also free to live in the bounds and the chains and the slavery and the darkness of sin. But you are free. You're free in Christ Jesus. That's one of the beautiful gifts of the gospel. So in Galatians, we would be doing ourselves a disservice if we're going to do any type of series on freedom and not look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. So Paul's letter to the churches of Galatia has commonly been referred to as the freedom letter of the New Testament. We're no longer bound by the letter of the law because we're free in Christ Jesus. In the death, burial, and resurrection, Jesus bought for us what we could not buy for ourselves. You and I, we do not have the currency to go to the store and buy for ourselves this freedom. Somebody had to do it for us. Somebody with more money than what we could ever, you know, amass in our time. And I'm not talking about physical money. I'm talking about spiritual money. And Jesus is the one who had that. And so Jesus bought for us freedom. And he purchased it for us. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. So, Christ has truly set us free. And then he says to the churches of Galatia, and he says to the First Baptist Church of Gunnersville, Alabama, now, Christ has set you free. Stay free. Don't go back again and get tied up again in the slavery of the law. Why in the world would you want to do that? When you can have freedom, why in the world would you want the slavery to sin? So Paul had in mind the deliverance from the curse of the law through Jesus becoming the curse for us. So this entailed freedom from all of the old, specifically all of the Old Testament, Old Covenant ceremonies such as circumcision, the priestly law, the animal sacrifices, the sacrificial system. As we are freed from the bondage of the law, the Spirit then liberates us to pursue righteousness in hope as faith works through love. So in short, Christian freedom for Paul is freedom from something. It's freedom from the bondage and the slavery and the darkness of sin. You're free from that. But then is also for Paul is then freedom to worship and serve God freely in all things. Christian freedom speaks directly to our relationship with God in Christ and how the Spirit governs what we do when we worship, when we go to work, when we eat, when we rest, when we play, when we sleep. In everything that we do, it governs our lives, all guided by God the Father and the freedom that He gives us in Christ Jesus. So freedom is both positive and negative. So negatively, freedom in Christ is freedom from sin's curse. It is freedom from the bondage of this world. It is freedom from Satan. It is freedom from sin's dominion. Last Sunday, in our look at Romans chapter 7, we talked about, I listed 8 things. I made sure that I told you, I'm only listing 8 quick things, so that we're not here all day long. Because you have to understand that the freedom that Jesus bought for us is so much more than 8 things. I just was just writing down 8 things off the top of my head that I wanted to make sure you know. So we talked about the fact that freedom that Jesus has bought for us is freedom from the guilt of our sin. And boy, did that touch a nerve in the life of this church. Because that's the one that I kind of used to kind of talk a little bit about. But what I said was this. I said, people know, they say to me, I know that God has forgiven me. Because the Scripture says that He has forgiven me. But I can't forgive myself. That is to say, I cannot get away from wallowing in the guilt of my sin. And I look at them and I go, well, you're guilty. What do you want me to say? You're guilty. Isn't that beautiful? That you and I are as guilty as ever been. And one of the most beautiful things about the gospel is that Jesus buys for us freedom from wallowing in the guilt of that sin. Live free, church. Live free. Isn't that beautiful? That is gorgeous. We're freedom from the death sentence that we have hanging over our heads because of our sin. We're free from the condemnation of our sin. We're free from the bondage to Satan. We're free from the bondage of this world. We're free from all of the things that are in darkness. If God has justified us, declaring us righteous in Christ, then who can condemn us? Nobody. Because we're free. Positively, then, freedom is freedom to be what God called you to be. We're free from the bondage and slavery of sin, but we are also free to be all that God has created us to be. We're free to worship the Father through the Son and the power of the Holy Spirit. We have free access to God. We spent 3 weeks in a series on prayer. We have free access to God the Father because we are free in Jesus. So what guides that freedom? There's a great story that Mark tells for us that gives it perfection. And Mark tells us that Jesus and his disciples were visited by the religious leaders. All right, so here's Jesus and his disciples, and they are being visited by the preachers. Some of them Presbyterian, some of them Church of Christ, some of them Baptists, some of them Episcopalian. So all of these preachers and all these different denominations, they've come together and they have decided for everybody what is right and what is wrong. You better do what we say is right and what is wrong. And so they visit Jesus and his disciples, and they decide that they are not following the ritual of ceremonially washing their hands before they ate. Mark tells the story. One day, some of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law arrived from Jerusalem to visit Jesus. And here's what they noticed. They noticed that some of Jesus' disciples failed to follow the Jewish ritual of washing, hand washing before eating. The Jews, especially the Pharisees, do not eat until they have poured water over their cupped hands as required by their ancient traditions. So this was not God's law. This was not God's rule. This was simply their own law that they had added on their own. And then the problem was that they had made their own law more important than God's word. And there's the problem. Y'all, we have our traditions here at First Baptist Church. We can't help it. We have traditions that we have as Baptists. We can't help it. The Presbyterians have theirs. The Episcopalians have theirs. The Methodists have theirs. The Church of Christ has theirs. We all have our traditions and the things that we do, because God did not give us in the New Testament, do everything, follow this diagram, follow this way when it came to worship or visitation or evangelism. He doesn't give us a list. He gives us freedom as his children to follow his guidance and his direction. But what we do is we turn things. I always have said, as a Baptist preacher, I've always said, if we do something 3 weeks in a row, then it becomes our tradition. That's why we try to only do things here 2 weeks in a row. Because if you do it a third week in a row, it's going to become a tradition. And at some point, you're going to have to knock it out. And then, boy, it turns into a mess. That's all of us. That's the way it is. And so we have our traditions. There was nothing wrong in any way, shape, form, or fashion with the Pharisees, the religious leaders, ceremonially washing their hands. What started out as a good tradition. Let's make sure that we clean our hands before we eat, it was saying to God the Father. We are thankful for the gift of this food that you've given to us. And we want to make sure that as we are thankful for this gift of this food that you've given to us, that we are clean. And the water going over the hand was just simply showing the sign of the Holy Spirit cleansing them. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. Until the actual water of the ceremonially washing their hands becomes more important than God Himself. And there is the problem. That wasn't God's law. That was their own law that they had added. And then they made that more important than God's word itself. So following the human tradition, the religious leaders washed all of their cooking utensils and ceremonially washed their hands. And then Jesus quoted Isaiah 29. He said, "You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain, and they teach doctrines and commandments and traditions of men." The issue wasn't proper sanitation, but demanding practices that God never demanded as a means of devotion. And ultimately, it all comes down to what Paul says at the end of his letter to the church at Corinth, the first letter. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 31, 32, and 33, the Apostle Paul says this: "So, whether you eat or you don't eat." So he's talking about following the dietary laws of the old covenant. If you eat, you follow the dietary laws, cool, good for you. If you don't, good for you, you're free in Christ. So whether you eat or you don't eat, whether you drink or you don't drink. And then he just throws in everything. As a matter of fact, whatever it is that you do or whatever it is that you decide not to do, do it all. And here's the point. Do it all or don't do it for the glory of God. He says, don't give offense to Jews or Gentiles or the church of God. I too try to please everyone and everything that I do. I don't just do what is best for me. I do what is best for others so that they might be saved. You should imitate me just as I imitate Christ. So where does freedom go wrong? Freedom is for righteousness. Sin is for slavery. Let me say that again. Freedom is for righteousness. Sin is for slavery. Freedom never means that you can do, we talked about last week, from the world's botched up, boogered up perspective, freedom is just being able to do what I want to do. I have no restraints on me. So freedom is not being able to do whatever you want to do because somebody is going to be your master. Somebody, everybody in here. Either God or Satan, one of the two. But you can't have it both ways. Paige and I were talking about this after the early worship. Paige, you're back for the second worship service. How about you? How good is that? Paige and I were standing down here talking about it, and we were talking about the fact that this very issue. You're either, every single one of us, if you are without Jesus and you are in sin, you are a master. Your master, you are a slave to your master, Satan, and there's no way around it. There's no way around it. One or the other. You are either master to God the Father through Jesus as His Son and free in Christ Jesus, or you are a master to the devil, one of the two, but you cannot have it both ways. And Paige and I were talking about the fact that that's the problem. The problem is for many who claim to know Christ as Savior and Lord, we want so desperately to have it both ways, but you cannot have it both ways. Freedom is delighting ourselves in the Lord, and then we do what we want to do. Why? Because what we want to do is delight ourselves in the Lord, and it aligns with what God wants for us. Paul Morrissey, here's what he writes about this issue and this verse. In the end, Christian freedom is more about how and why we do what we do than about what we do with our life. So what does he mean by that? He's talking about the motivation of our heart. Christian freedom is more about how and why we do what we do, not what we do, because what is the motivation of our heart? Whatever it is, fill in the blank. What's the motivation of your heart? He says you can be free reading your Bible, keeping the Lord's day, going to work, playing golf, watching a movie, drinking an alcoholic drink, when you self-consciously enjoy everything in its place and in moderation to the glory of God under His law. That's right. The Baptist preacher just read a quote that said, you can drink. Crucify me. And I knew that that quote was going to get some traction. Sure enough, one of our young men carrying his baby out to his car hollered back at me as I was standing under the portico talking to people, you know, and we're just talking and whatever. And he looks back at me and says, all right, we'll see y'all later. See you, preacher. I'm going to go get some beer and go play golf. I said, boy, you misunderstood that quote. That's not the point. You can be free. Reading your Bible, keeping the Lord's day, going to work, playing golf, shopping, watching a movie, drinking an alcoholic drink. When you self-consciously enjoy everything in moderation to the glory of God. Conversely, you can do all these things. Read your Bible. Go to church. Go to work. Play golf. Watch a movie. Go shopping. Drink an alcoholic drink. You can do all of those things too and be enslaved to sin simply by losing sight of God in Christ while you do them. You are a slave to righteousness or you are a slave to sin, but you can't have both. Man, there you go, church. You're free. So to avoid abusing our freedom, to avoid getting caught up in the slavery of sin, we hear Paul one more time say, so Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free. Don't get tied up again in the slavery to the law. Father, thank you so much for that powerful word about the freedom that has been bought and purchased for us in Jesus. It's not a matter of what we do or we don't do. It's a matter of why we do or don't do. What's the motivation of our heart? Is it to bind others with slavery or is it to allow freedom in our own heart and our own life? Every single person here today, we're either in bondage to the Lord or we're in bondage to sin. One of the two. My prayer is, Lord, that by the time we walk out of this sanctuary today, my prayer is that we're all free in Christ Jesus because He offers it. We're no longer bound up, chained up in the slavery of sin. Thank you for that powerful, beautiful word. In Jesus I pray. Amen. Out of my bondage, sorrow, and night is our invitation. If you've never trusted Christ and repented of your sin and trusted in Him, followed Him, then we encourage you to do that. Make that public today here as we have our time of invitation. If you need to come pray, join our church, whatever the Lord leads you to do, do that as we stand, as we sing.
Jesus, I Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come into the glorious gain of thy cross. Jesus, I come to thee. Out of my sorrows into thy balm, out of my storms and into thy calm, out of distress to jubilant song, Jesus, I come to thee.
Quick, let's go over real quickly a few of our announcements. We got our senior adults, mature adults, When Irish Eyes Are Smiling fellowship dinners March the 12th. Sign up on the old Lord's Supper table, so sign up for that. Family work day, going to the Marshall Baptist Retreat Center to help our Marshall Baptist Retreat Center with a big cleanup day March the 16th, 8 a.m. to noon. If you want more information about that, see Mike, our children's minister. He's the one's kind of putting all that together. All right, Ken, got anything?
Do not.
All right, let's all stand and close by singing Victory in Jesus.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me.